so glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
And so tonight I want to talk to you about making prayer a priority. Making prayer a priority. Now I want you to lift your hand this way and just ask God to touch my throat today. And while you're at it, bind that long-winded spirit. Father, I thank you that you know where I'm at. Lord, I thank you for healing in my body, healing in my vocal cords and in my throat today, God, so that I may declare the word of God in your place today, in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. I want you to go with me to the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel, chapter 9. The book of Daniel. Pastor Justin, as you're turning there, Pastor Justin was telling me about man count. And he was talking about where it's going to be. And I'm just going to say, it sounds like a kind of a sissified place to me. It's got running water, bathrooms, hot and cold showers. Yeah, electric at every campsite. That sounds like a resort. I mean, you know, man, if we're going to camp, let's go into the deepest dark jungle. Let's fight bears with nothing but a knife. I'm going to need you to sharpen my knife, Rick. You know what I'm saying? Let's do real men stuff. Yeah. I didn't say I was going. Matter of fact, man camp is my anniversary, so I won't be there anyway. Let's say I thought, spend it with a bunch of smelly men or spend it with my wife. My wife's going to win every time. Amen. Good answer, that's right. The book of Daniel chapter 9, if you're there, say amen. If you don't plan on finding it, say go ahead. And you wonder why you can't find God's will, but let me move on. It was the first year of the reign of Darius the Mede, the son of Ahasuerus, who became king of the Babylonians. During the first year of the reign, I, Daniel, learned from reading the word of God. I learned from reading the word of the Lord as revealed to Jeremiah the prophet that Jerusalem must lie desolate for 70 years. I want you to get that in your spirit for a minute. He said that while reading the word of God, see, he was reading Jeremiah, and he said, while reading it, I realized or found out that Jerusalem must lie desolate for 70 years. So I want you to underline this. So I turned to the Lord, and the Lord God, and pleaded with him in prayer and fasting. I also wore rough burlap and sprinkled myself with ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed. And here's what he confessed. O Lord, you are a great and awesome God. You always fulfill your covenant and keep your promises of unfailing love to those who love you and obey your commands. But we have sinned and done wrong. We have rebelled against you and scorned your commands and regulations. We have refused to listen to your servants, the prophets, who spoke on your authority to the kings, princes, and ancestors, to all the people of the land. A little bit of background, and I'm going to get right into it. A little bit of background is that Daniel was coming to the end of his life and the end of these apparently 70 years. And he began to read about he was wanting to go back home. Remember that the Israelites were taken captive into exile. And Daniel was living in exile, but he just wanted to go home. How many has ever been at that place? If you know, I've been on mission trips that I just wanted to go home. I've been on even vacations a time or two that I just wanted to go home. And anytime I'm sick in a way, I just want to go home. No matter how big or how small the house is, I just want to be home. There's nothing like throwing up in your own bathroom. I prefer that. If I'm going to throw up, I'd rather be in my bathroom than anybody else's bathroom. But here's what I've learned, all right? And here's what I want to talk about, making prayer a priority. That every crisis that you come into contact with, every crisis that you go in, for those of you who might not know, I announce this every few services. If you go to YouVersion, YOUVersion, and look on events, you can find the notes that you'll find up on the screen. You can find that in YouVersion app. That's a Bible app. But every crisis is an opportunity to get closer to God. Can I tell you that God doesn't take you through crises just because he doesn't have anything else to do? Some of the times we think about, or I watch movies, and part of the era that I love to watch, I love Gladiator. I love those type of movies. I like... When I was in the senior in high school, I did my senior project, my senior paper on mythology. So I love those Clash of the Titans and all those things. I love those type of movie. Greatest movie ever made, Braveheart, of course. And then Gladiator's right there under it. Well, Pastor, there's a lot of violence because I'm a violent man. No, I'm just kidding. So I love those type of movies. But I love the mythology. But some people get caught up in thinking that God is like the gods of these movies. And when you study mythology and you watch some of these movies, it is the gods, and I'm going to say little g, gods that are playing with humanity. That is not Jehovah Jireh. That is not our great God. That is not the I am that I am. He is not playing with your life. Everything that God does in your life has a purpose. Everything that God allows you to go through has a purpose. Well, Pastor, I've made my own stupid decisions. Yes, and God lets you go through it to teach you something, to turn you around. Every judgment in the Bible was a judgment to turn Israel back to him. You see, God is a jealous God, and he wants you to be in his life and him in your life. Why? Because everything is better with God. Life is best lived when you live it with God in your life, directing your life, directing your heart, directing his will in your life. God doesn't just wake up and decide, let me play with Gypsy today. I just want to mess with him. No, that's Ronnie. I wake up, I love messing with people, but aren't you glad I'm not God? But God doesn't wake up wanting to just mess with you. Everything that happens in your life, it is an opportunity to get to know some attribute of God, some characteristic of God that may not be revealed to you yet. You don't know that God is a deliverer until you need him to be a deliverer. You don't know that God is a healer until he heals. You don't know. You see, you know that God is good, but when you've been in the valley of the shadow of death and he's brought you through the good, he's brought you through that, he goes from being good to being awesome. He goes from good to being incredible. He goes from good to being unstoppable. He goes from just being good. You know he's good because of the good times, but I know he's great in the bad times, and he didn't let me fall. He didn't let me stumble. He didn't let me stay there. He brought me out of whatever I was in. So I want you to understand, in this making prayer a priority, every crisis is an opportunity to get closer to God. Now, as a pastor, I minister to people in crisis most of the time. It could be health. It could be relational. It could be professional. It could even be a crisis born out of a natural disaster. You know, like a tornado, a hurricane, a earthquake, whatever, the flood. We've dealt with those in the past couple of years. And we've dealt with those in hurricanes. And we've ministered to people in the middle of that. And so every opportunity, we minister to them because we wanted them to see the love of Christ with some skin on, right? And so that's why we do some of the things that we do. So what should you do when people who are in crisis come to you? Well, Pastor, I know what I do. I direct them to you. But there's no way that I can. Now think about this. We average about 650, 700 people on a Sunday. That's not counting the people who attend our church, you know, who I haven't seen them for 10 years and they still think I'm their pastor. And so if I took an appointment with every person, it would still take several years for me to get to somebody, right? Aren't you glad that you don't have to get an appointment with God? Aren't you glad? But here's what I want you to understand, that you have the ability, because you are a Christian. Well, Pastor, I don't have a degree. So what? Well, Pastor, I don't have... You have everything that you need. God has given you everything that you need in order to be effective when He brings somebody to your life to minister. God is not asking you to be His theologian. He's not asking you to be His lawyer. He's asking you to be His witness. And a witness only tells what has happened to them, what they saw, what they heard, what they know, what they've been through. And what you've been through can help somebody else around you, that if God kept you through that, if God brought you through that, the same God that brought you through is the same God that's going to bring them through. Can you say amen? So what should I do when they come to me, Pastor? All right, here it is. It's really deep, man. This has got some very deep theological roots, and I don't know if everybody will understand that, but start with prayer. Start with prayer. Don't use it as a last resort after you've done everything else. Well, Pastor, what can we do? Well, we can pray. Oh, my God, it's come to that. Oh, my Lord, it's come to that. We've got to pray. No, is that all we can do? No, that's the first thing we can do. It shouldn't be the last thing we do. It should be the first thing we do. See, the problem is here in America is we've learned not to depend on God. We've learned to depend on our bank. We've learned to depend on the doctor. And I'm not against any of that. We've learned to depend on our friend. And so we live by hint instead of by faith. I'm not against friends helping. I'm not against banks. I'm not against all of those things that can help. But when you don't have another option, like in foreign countries, you don't have another option, you just automatically go to God. We exhaust our resources and then we go to God. See, now, I'll tell you what I've done. I will start out praying first. And I don't always. I'm not that guy that always does it right. But I start out praying, and then God will direct me to the right resource. Sometimes you just try to think it through instead of pray it through. But even though there are a variety of actions that you and I should take with ministering to people in crisis, always pray first. And Daniel is a great model for how to pray during times of crisis, and just how to pray, period. You know, we've done the Daniel fast for many, many years, and this year we swapped it up and just did 21 days of prayer and fasting. And I'm going to tell you right now, I've heard all kind of crazy things people are fasting. I'm not even sure if some of it's biblical. But at least they're trying something. You know, we could be religious and go, can you give me verse in scripture? I'm just like, hey, they trying. Right, I'm just glad some people are trying. Right, so just get there, man. You're giving up something to try to get God. And here's the thing, God knows your heart. Like if I were to give up broccoli, God's like, no, bro. I know you don't like broccoli. That ain't no fast. But for those who don't know any better, you do something. But what I'm saying is this, is that We usually do the Daniel fast, but Daniel still taught us how to pray and how to fast. Near the end of his life, and I've already said this a little bit, but 70 years after he and his friends had went into exile in the captivity of Babylon, Daniel faced a crisis of confidence. He had gotten tired of being where he was. My God, somebody hear me. He got tired of being in this exile. He got tired of being in this situation. Daniel said, I want to go home before I die. I know y'all don't ever, because y'all are such good Christians and such people of faith, but sometimes I just get tired in a battle. I get tired in a crisis. I get tired in a situation. And I have and if I'm not careful, then my confidence will be shaken. Now let me tell you, usually your confidence is shaken when you're fatigued. When fatigue walks in, faith walks out. But he knew the prophet Jeremiah had promised the Israelites would return home after 70 years, and that time period was finally coming to an end, so Daniel prayed. He prayed a model prayer for believers who find themselves in a period of crisis. And here's what he prayed. I'm going to give you those, I think it's 5 or 6 points. I know some of y'all are real nervous right now because it's 7:54. And I got 6 points. Point one is this. Daniel listened to God. Oh man, Pastor, you're so deep, aren't you? Yeah, I know it, man. He listened to God. You don't have to be real theological to listen to God. Well, I've never heard him. Well, how do you listen to God? I'm so glad you asked. How do you listen to God is my next slide. Give it to me. How do you listen to God? You study his word. If you want to know what God sounds like, read his word. And let me just help some of you. God doesn't speak always in King James Version. Ronnieth, I loveth thee, and I would have thee get on thy camel. Oh, you mean my motorcycle. All right. See, that's what Daniel did. At the beginning of chapter 9, he's reading God's promise. He's reading God's promise from Jeremiah to bring back Israel to Jerusalem. And when we're in crisis, you got to focus on what God promised. What is God promises? What are his promises? Dakes said there are 33,000 promises in the Word of God. I've never counted that many, but I'm just going to trust him. 33,000 promises in the Word of God. You need to find some promises that speak to you. Find some promises that you know God is talking to you. You know, listen, I'm not looking to the promise that my quiver is full. I don't want that promise. My quiver is full with 2 children. That's all I need. I don't need no more. And so, but find those promises and begin to read those words and begin to pray the promises of God. Because God gives us thousands and thousands of promises in the Bible. And now listen, these promises provide a great foundation for prayer during a crisis. So man, if all you can do is just, if you don't know how to pray, then find the promises in the book and begin to pray the promises of God. Begin to pray the promises of God. I told you I'm not going to take long. Number two is this. Daniel focused his attention on God. Have you ever prayed nonchalantly without your attention on God? Of course you have it. You're so holy and you're so in tune but I have, because you get busy and you pray while you're doing something else. And you pray so that you can check off the list that today I prayed. Trust me, if you have a spouse, just look at her or him and talk to them. And after you get done, go check. It is not going to fare well with you. Hey, listen, honey, my wife is, pray for my wife. She's not feeling well today. But so we all know that Cindy ain't my wife and I ain't her husband. But we go, honey, listen, I need to check this thing off. I need to talk to you for just a minute. How was your day? Okay, yeah, wonderful, check. That ain't going to work, bro. Sister Sherry ain't going to go for that, and neither are you. No. But that's what we do with God, right? Daniel did this. Daniel 9:3 says, I turned to the Lord. Now, if you turn to something, it means you turn away from something else. So I turned to God and turned away from the news on the television. I turned to God and turned off my Facebook. I turned to God and got off of Instagram and Snapchat and any other chat. I turned to God and away from other things so I can give God my undivided attention. Because if I really want God in my situation, I really want Him to get in my, give me His undivided attention. You know, I do my best not to do this, but we've all done this. We've all done this. Come here, Gypsy. We come in here and we go, hey, Gypsy, how you doing, man? How are you doing? You doing all right, man? Yeah. All right, buddy. Well, it's good to see you. You're always looking for somebody else. You're doing it just to get the check. Check, all right, I've spoke to them. Let me go over here and speak to them. Hey, I don't really care. How are you doing? Well, I didn't really ask you. I don't really want to know that. Well, but my corn was acting. I didn't ask you all that. I just asked. It was a proverbial, how are you doing? I don't want an answer. Come on, somebody, you understand. But when we come to God, we've got to turn to Him and turn away from other things and say, God, I need you. Can you imagine if you came to me with a huge problem and you're going, Pastor, and you're crying out and you're upset, and I would just go, yeah. Uh-huh. Or how about this? Yeah, uh-huh. Right. Sure, I understand. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got you. Yeah. Mm-mm. It's bad. Mm. Yeah. You're not going to feel like I'm hearing you. But yet we want to talk to God while we're doing everything else. And don't get me wrong. I pray, I pray all day long. Pastor, you're so spiritual. Yeah, it's not always turned from everything else and pray to Him. But there's a time in my, usually it's in the morning, where I turn away from everything, including my wife, and I talk to Him. Because I know that if I'm going to make it, if my marriage is going to make it, I need Him in it. I know that if I'm going to do a good job at the job site, I need Him in it. If I'm going to do any good today, I need you in it. And I don't want you just to pass me by. I don't want you to just to patronize me. As I turn to you, God, I want to have a conversation. I want to have a talk. I want you to look at me and know that we've connected. He turned to the Lord. One of the reasons a crisis causes us so much pain is because we often take our eyes off of God in the middle of it. In the middle of the crisis, we take our eyes off of God because He isn't doing it as fast as we want Him to, or He's not doing it the way we want Him to do it. And so therefore, we take our eyes off of Him. We desperately need to focus on Him, especially during the times of difficulty. When you turn toward your family and friends, you focus your attention on them. The same is true with your relationship with God. Many people do this. You wonder sometimes why we bow our heads or why we, you know, different people pray differently. You wonder why we bow our heads or kneel or lift up our hands. It's because that's what we're doing. We're physically turning our attention. I don't pray a lot like this. I do, but I do pray like this. But most of my prayer is this way. Because I want to look, as Pastor Justin was talking about today, I want to look past the problem. I want to look past the enemy. I want to look past my limitations. I want to look past those things and see God as the forefront. I want to see Him riding in on His white stallion to save the day. I want to see Him coming to my aid. I want to see Him with the blood of my enemies dripping from His veil. I want to see Him coming. And I don't want to just bow my, but I do something physically to turn my attention to Him. Personally, I like looking up, because it helps me focus on God. And I'm looking for victory. The Bible said, look up into the hills from which cometh your help. I'm a very present help in the time of trouble. So I'm looking for God. I ain't looking down. If I'm looking down, I know the devil's down there. Come on, somebody. Devil's under my feet. I ain't looking. I'm looking up. I'm looking up for God to come on the clouds of glory. See, during a crisis, we need to know how to focus on God, not our circumstances, and what He is doing in our lives. So I put this on Facebook a couple of days ago, but God is good and life is tough. You can count your blessings or you can count your problems, and what you focus on determines the condition of your heart. If you want to change your focus, then you got to change what you're looking at. Change what you're counting. I mean, everybody in this room, man, listen, if I wanted to get everybody in here depressed, I could just turn this mic over to go person by person and tell us what's going wrong in your life. Somebody said, Pastor, you know, and we don't do this. It's been gone for 20 years. But Pastor, why don't we have testimony service? Well, number one, you don't know what crazy people are going to say. Well, I tell you, bless God. Sister Schwartz and Gruber, stand up and give a testimony. Well, bless his name. The devil been fighting me, bless his name. Who are you blessing? You know, Jesus called today, and I just had to star 69 him. I mean, you don't know what you're going to get. And then you get some people up, ain't ever preached, decide they've been called to preach, and decide they're going to take over the service and preach. No. How many remember those days? How many are glad those days are gone? All right. How many wish they'd come back? Don't raise your hand. Make me talk about you. All right, so where am I? Okay, now. Point number three. Daniel expressed his desire with emotion. You know, I think that sometimes we get a bad rap because people say, oh, well, that's just emotionalism. I don't know about y'all, but I get emotional. And especially I get emotional about things I love. I get emotional about the things that I care about. Well, people go, well, I'm not that emotional. You're a liar. Shut your hand in the car door. I promise you, you're going to get emotional. Bam! Oh, excuse me, I think that my hand is caught in the door. Could you please open the door because I'm hurting pretty bad right now. No. Let somebody walk up and give you $1 million. I wouldn't be emotional. I just... I'm coming, Elizabeth. But the Bible says that Daniel did more than just make his request known to God. The Bible says that Daniel pleaded with God. He pleaded with God. The Hebrew word there means that he literally begged God. He begged God. Now I want you to get this principle. Your passion and intensity often reveal how much something matters to you. I'm going to let that sink in. Your passion and intensity often reveal how much something matters to you. I mean, I see people go to a ball game and get more emotional than they do at the house of God. But they want to call us emotional. Wait a minute, you're emotional because of pigskin. Oh, we did it like you was on the field. You wasn't even on the field, bro. You was in the stand. And what usually happens, there's 22 men on the field in desperately need of rest, and there's 22,000 people in the stands desperately need of exercise. Somehow you got to show God that your request is more than just a whim. All right, let me ask you this. What if your children walk by, or what if their children walk by you and say, well, I'd love to have a pair of shoes. Well, okay. All right. But what if they came to you and said, oh, God, Mama, Daddy, I've got to have a new pair of shoes. My shoes are wore out. My toes are coming through the top of my shoe. I need it. Well, you're going to pay attention now, aren't you? Well, but Pastor, you know, I'm very theological. God knows the need before I even pray. You're right. But he also said the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Prayer. Now, I'm not saying you got to be loud. I'm loud. I know that's my personality. You ain't got to be loud like me, but you've got to be passionate. Show God that your request is more than just a whim, that it's a strong desire on your part. You know, listen, Daniel wasn't just asking to let him go back to Jerusalem. He was begging him, I want you to know that it's okay to fully express yourself to God, and especially while you're in crisis. You know, I had to do a funeral on yesterday, and I shared this because it is so true that, you know, those of us who have been to funerals, people go, you know, you're trying to console somebody. Oh, don't cry. Oh, be strong. That's what'd you say? There it is, baloney. And not even Oscar Mayer. That's baloney. You know, when I tell people all the time, they're like, oh, I'm sorry, Pastor. I go, no, cry, get it out. That's part of the grieving process. You know, we have grief share here that we have it on our focus groups, and we'll be starting back up. But we have grief share. But listen, part of grieving, grief that is not expressed usually leads to depression. Grief without expression leads to depression. And so that's why we have funerals. Because there you can let it all hang out. I mean, you can have snot coming out and ain't nobody going to know. Oh, let me get you a tissue here, baby. Because that's what we're doing. We're expressing our grief. Now, y'all remember what I said about my funeral. I want somebody acting a fool. Oh! Oh, Pastor! Oh, God! My wife, one time I said that, and she goes, you can count on me. I ain't counting on her. She don't want to be one to kill me. So I want you to understand that you can pray with emotion. Matter of fact, I read Arthur today. Here's what he said. When a person doesn't feel like praying, it's usually because they're not praying their feelings. That just made me go, I'm going to say it again. When a person doesn't feel like praying, it's because they aren't praying their feelings. You know, people are scared to express their feelings to God. Who else can you express it to that will not judge you? Who knows exactly what you're going through? And man, you know, again, if you express it, it gets it out there and gets it out of your spirit. I mean, you know, that's why me and God has had some yelling matches. Now, I remember, listen, don't get me wrong. I remember, well, he's my best friend. I know that, but he's also Jesus Christ. He's God. And I really don't want to tick him off. But he allows me to express myself. And when I'm mad, he allows me to say I'm mad. When I don't understand, he allows me to say, God, I don't understand. Lord, I just want to kill somebody and tell them they tell you they died. But God understands all that. He made your emotions. So when you pray, if you're not praying your feelings, now, I'm not saying just vomit on in your prayer time and not bring it back around, but share your feelings and then start focusing. I'm about to get on my other point. But start focusing on the good of what God has done and is doing. See, because, all right, now point number four is that Daniel demonstrated his seriousness. Is that what we're doing this 21 days of fasting? We're serious. I mean, you know, there are times, and I'm not, and please, most of you know my heart. I'm not trying to brag or anything because I ain't nothing to brag about. But there are times when I'm fasting all food, and I'm just you know, maybe I'll be doing a liquid fast or just a water fast or whatever. And sometimes when I'm fasting and my wife is cooking, she's asking me, baby, do you not want me to cook when you're fasting? I said, well, the rest of y'all got to eat. Yeah, go ahead and cook. And so, and sometimes I'll go over to the pot and I'll stir it. She goes, baby, you're fasting. I said, I know that. I just want the devil to know I mean business. And I'll breathe in. I'll breathe in whatever she's cooking. I just want the devil to know I mean business. Devil, I know who you are. I know where you're at. And I just want you to know I'm not giving in. I just want you to know I mean business too. And sometimes you, no, Siri, I don't need you. Sometimes you need to demonstrate, yes, Siri was on there. Can I help you? No, you can't, unless you're going to finish the preaching. No, you're not. Let me move on. So, I know. So, check this out. So, first, Daniel demonstrated his seriousness. He's fasting. So, I hope that this fast, that's what you're doing. I'm showing God I'm serious on 2020. I want 2020 vision in 2020. I'm serious. I want to get closer to God in 2020. I'm serious. I'm believing God for some greater things that He's ever done in my life. I'm believing. And so that he demonstrated that by a spiritual discipline of fasting. Then the Bible said that Daniel prayed wearing sackcloth and ashes. I've been wanting to talk to you about this because next Wednesday night I want us all to wear sackcloth and I'm going to have some ashes we're going to put on. No, I'm not going to do it. I'm just kidding. But back in that day, no one does this today. They do have Ash Wednesday, but it's a little... But anyway, I don't know where some of this stuff comes from. Y'all like it? Me neither, bro. But for hundreds of years in the Middle East, the practice, they would put on sackcloth and put ashes on their head. It was practiced to show a person's seriousness. When you saw that, you're like, whoa, man, they're serious. And if you ever see me in sackcloth, you're going to go, oh, he's lost it. And if you see ashes on me, yeah, he's dead. That's what's wrong with him. You understand? But they were serious, man. And I think sometimes the American church doesn't get serious enough about getting to the feet of Jesus. I believe the American church, and I'm sure there are other churches, but I know the American church. And I know, and I believe, you know, you call a prayer meeting, many of you wouldn't be here. Jesus said some miracles can only come about through prayer and fasting. And some of us haven't got breakthroughs in our life because we refuse to show the devil and God that we're serious. We hope instead of moving faith. Remember, hope is not a strategy. Fasting showed how serious a person was about the request. God, I'm believing. All right, what are you willing to do for it? How are you willing to show God that you're serious? You know, now we people can know, and you know, me and Justin talked a little bit about this today because what I'm doing for my fast, and I ain't got to tell everybody, but God's doing a little. I'm doing things a little differently, and God's just really kind of messing with me the way I'm doing the fast. And so I said something today, and so I felt compelled to have to explain what I'm doing. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I seen somebody at Krispy Kreme, and I went, oh, Jesus. Ooh, child. And immediately, at first I said, oh, they ain't fasting. All right? Come on. I don't know what God's doing in that person. She's here tonight. Did you bring me any Krispy Kreme? You got some? Get behind me, Satan. Anyway. But you understand what I'm saying, right? So sometimes we want to show people how serious we are. People is not going to answer your prayer. It's got to be God. All right, so you see the importance of this over and over and over in the Bible. During a crisis, we need to demonstrate the seriousness before God. Point number five is this. Daniel thanked God for his love and promises. He thanked God. The attitude of gratitude. You know, I said Sunday, everybody in America ought to go somewhere on a missions trip, not Paris. But I promise you, if you go to Paris, you'll still come back to the U.S. thinking, thank you, God. But you need to go on a missions trip to a second or third world country, and I promise you, you won't ever be the same again. You'll come back thinking, oh, Jesus, and you'll be kissing the floor and think you'll be in the shower having the Holy Ghost hit you and stuff. And because, man, you drink a bottle of water, you're like, hallelujah, Jesus, it's cold. You know, I mean, you would just be changed. But the Bible says that when you give your request to the Lord, ask with thanksgiving. Here's what Daniel prayed. Verse 4, and this is the God's Word translation. Lord, you are great and deserve respect as the only God. You keep your promise and show mercy to those who love you and obey your commandments. Daniel told God he was grateful for him. You know, have you ever, don't point at them. Have you ever met people who blame God for all their problems? Here's my question. If God is responsible for all your problems, why would you make him mad? Your logic doesn't add up. Your logic is illogical. Daniel was saying, God, I am thankful for you. And he recognized the Lord's faithfulness to fulfill the promises. As we go through a crisis, we need to express our gratitude unto God. Man, you're going through something. Find something to be thankful for. You're going through, oh, Pastor, you know, my dad was a great man of God. And my dad never spoke to probably 150, maybe 200. Well, he preached here. It was the biggest church he's ever preached at. So he's never spoke to 100, but he was such just a good man. You know what I'm saying? He was a godly man. And I remember one time he had some issues with his feet, and he had to go to this big preacher meeting, and he had a slipper on his foot with the toes cut out of the top because he had ingrown toenail or something. He had surgery or something on. I can't remember. I just knew it was toenails. And so he had the top out. And he was in a suit with a dress shoe on and a house slipper with the toes cut out. And everywhere he went, he would go, I'm so sorry. I've got some issues with my you know, I know how to dress, and I apologize. I hate to be dressed like this, but I can't walk with a regular shoe. And they go, oh, Brother Reed, it's fine. It's fine, Brother Reed. It's fine. And he was just going by. Everybody, he was like, hey, I'm sorry. Because they would like, hey, how are you? And they, you know, everybody catching, oh, I'm so sorry. I have this issue with my foot. So, you know, you're like, oh, good Lord, Daddy. Why don't you just get up on the table and announce everybody so we ain't got to tell everybody why, you know. And I was just a kid. But then he came to a guy in a wheelchair with no legs. He said, it's good to see you. And never said it again. Did you catch that? He came across somebody with no legs and never apologized again for his foot. So, man, easy. It's easy to look at your situation. It's easy to look at your circumstances. It's easy to look at what you lack. It takes no effort to look at what you don't have. But to not be thankful for what you do have and always focusing on what you don't have is to waste what you do have. My cousin lost her daughter in a drowning accident. It's very tragic. And she said these words to me. She said, Ronnie, and I just started preaching. She said, Ronnie, I don't have anything left to live for. And I didn't even have any kids. And I went, whoa, whoa, whoa. And we were sitting on her porch. I said, look at those other three kids. I know you're hurting. I said, I can't even imagine what you're going through because I don't even have a children right now. I said, and I know you're hurting, but you got a reason to live. Give God thanks for the three that you have left. My God, somebody hear me. Thank God for what's left. Well, thank God for what's left. Lord, I thank you for what's left. So you got to have that, Daniel, thank God for his love and his promises. It's easy to forget this aspect of prayer. But it's important because God calls us to be grateful people. And this is what we see illustrated by Daniel's example in his life. Thankfulness keeps us beyond our problems. Thankfulness helps us see beyond our problems. Again, everybody's got problems. Oh, it must be nice to be you. Because you don't ever go through nothing. You don't know what people go through. You have no idea. I've had people ask me, Pastor, I bet you don't ever go through nothing. No, that's right. No, not me. I'm a Superman. Dun, 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 dun. Number six. Daniel humbly confessed his sin. Wow. He humbly confessed his sin. Well, I would confess my sin if I had any. Well, let me tell you, one of your sins is pride. Heard somebody go, I'm very prideful about my humbleness. I'm not exaggerating. It was a preacher. I'm very prideful about my humbleness. God doesn't want to hear prideful complaining. But he does listen to humble confessing. I'm going to say that again. He don't want to hear prideful complaining, but he will listen and certainly does listen to humble confession. God, and this is what I love, God never responds to our confession of sin with punishment. He responds with grace and mercy. Hallelujah. Pastor, Lord, I'm sorry because I got caught. No, man. He said, a broken and contrite spirit is never no wise cast out. Instead, he blesses us when we're honest about our sin. Right? Daniel chapter 5. Here, man, Daniel got down to the nitty gritty. He said, we have sinned. We've done wrong and acted wickedly, rebelled and turned away from your commandments and your law. Daniel doesn't just give a general confession, but he specifically mentioned what the people of Israel had done wrong. You know, sometimes I'm guilty of that. When I ask forgiveness, I just ask for a general. Lord, you know, I rarely name it. Lord, I had just a bad attitude, God. I'm sorry. Lord, I gossiped. Here's one. Lord, I gluttoned. I don't believe I've ever said that. But yet I asked him to heal me because I was so sick I gorged myself. Oh, God. Oh, Jesus, I should have ate all that. God, help me, Jesus. Y'all ain't guilty, I know. It's my first time at empanemas. Man, I got the meat sweats. I had ate so much meat, man. I had the meat sweats. It was bad, bro. That's some good stuff, though, boy. And I'll be John Brown if I didn't go back and eat again, but I didn't get no meat sweats. I said, I'm on. But Daniel, man, he just laid it out. He got specific and mentioned what he and Israel had done wrong. He knew that God's help would only come because of his grace, not because I deserve it. I want you to hear that. God's help came because of his grace, because of his mercy, not because I deserve it. Because, man, I don't know if y'all ever think like I do. I hope some of you don't. Because, man, my mind can be all messed up. But sometimes I think, God, if I was you, I would just kill me. If I was you, I would just smash me with your thumb. If I was you, I'd just take my breath, man. But God, thank you that you didn't. Thank you that you don't. Your grace is sufficient for me. And what it does, it causes me to want to do well. It causes me to want to serve him and worship him in a better way. Can I tell you this? And I don't mean to be a Debbie Downer, but you're going to face crisis. You just can't help it. You got to. If you live long enough, you're going to face crisis. Doesn't matter how much faith you got. Doesn't matter how holy you are. You're going to face some crisis. But when you do, I hope tonight's message will help you make prayer the priority, not the last thing. And can I tell you this? That if you'll make prayer a priority on a regular basis, he will lead you and guide you, illuminate the snares, illuminate the traps that the devil has set against you, the ambushments that the devil and the enemy has set against you. And some of these ambushes and can be thwarted because of the fact God will show you. Because how many of you understand this? Sometimes my reaction is what causes the problem. There wasn't a problem till I reacted. I could have, you know, I mean, I'm telling you, there's been a few times that I bit my tongue slap off because I wanted to say something so bad, but the Holy Spirit. It doesn't happen often, y'all know that, but that the Holy Spirit just said, close your mouth and let me fight the battle. You know, I was 25 years old when I was 24 when I started pastoring. I was 26 when this happened. No, 25. Yes, 25, 26. Y'all wasn't there, so it didn't matter. I can't remember. First thing to go is your memory. There are two other things, but I can't remember what they are either. But a situation happened in the little church where I was pastoring. And I've told this story many times, but I was going to go do something. And my mentors and the Holy Spirit and my wife told me, hold your peace. The next Sunday I went to church and I had multiple church people come up to me and said, Pastor, you showed such wisdom in how you handled that situation. And I was like, oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, the Lord helps us. They had not known that I had went berserk at my house. But the counsel of godly men and women and the Holy Spirit. Because how many understand, you can get godly counsel, but you still got to take it. Doesn't matter if you get godly counsel. If you don't take it, it might have been godly, but you didn't take it. And so I took it, and you know what? I came out smelling like a rose. I came out, the words of some of the older generation of that church, oh, you showed wisdom beyond your years. Yes, yes, I did. It was way beyond my years because it wasn't me. I didn't say that part. I just went, thank you so much. Yes, hallelujah, yes, I am all that, yes. But can I tell you, man, prayer will help you keep from making some mistakes. One of the most important things you can do is pray during this time. The most important thing you can do is pray. Here's the one I love when I talk about prayer. I love this response from people. I don't know how to pray. Do you know how to talk? If you know how to talk, you know how to pray. Because it is a conversation with God. Now listen to me. And I'm done. I got to quit. It is a conversation with God. And what is a conversation? I talk and then I listen. See, Pentecostals are the world's worst about doing all the talking. Lord, speak to me, Jesus. I just need you to speak to me, God. Speak to me right now, God. I need you to speak to me. God's like, shut up and I will. Because we Pentecostals are really, really scared of silence. So there's a time in my prayer time that I quit praying. And you want to talk about hard? The praying is easy. Shut up and keeping your mind on God is hard. Because, man, I quit. Squirrel. I got ADD and HD. I'm high definition ADD. And so when I quit talking, I do. I will consciously turn back to God. And sometimes physically, I'll start doing something. I'm sorry, God. I'm sorry. Lord, just speak to me. Lord, I need your instruction. I mean, come on, man. We're talking about the God of the universe. That you have the ability to hear his instruction on your everyday life. Would you stand to your feet in this place? You know that song that we sang earlier, that new song, Champion. Bring up that second verse, Emilio. That yud, I think we need an apostrophe or something up in there. Yud, I'm not sure is a word, but when I first saw it, I thought it said Yoda. that Yoda choose somebody like me. You choose someone like me to carry your victory. Give me the next one. Perfection could never earn it. You give what we don't have. Maybe the bridge. Go to the bridge. I'd never heard this song until tonight. When I lift my voice and shout, every wall comes crashing down. What's the next one? There it is. I have the authority Jesus has given me. Well, Pastor, I'm not sure if Jesus has given me that authority. Are you saved? Are you a child of God? We can fix that right now. If you don't know Jesus, we can fix that right now. It's as simple as ABC. A, that you admit you're in need of a Savior. B, you believe that He died on the cross for your sins. C, confess with your mouth, and the Bible says you shall be saved. I give you my word, I won't embarrass you. But if you're here and you're like, Pastor, I don't know Him, I need Him into my life, would you slip up your hand? You can put it right back down. I'm not going to ask you to come up here. We're not going to take you out back and shave your head. But, you know, it's real simple. Anybody in this room?
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.